What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Select Start. I am joined here by my two beautiful co-hosts. It is your boy, the man, the champion, Russell.
Hey, yeah, I thought that was going to...
That's an intro.
Get the hype up to something a lot bigger.
Yeah. But... Nah, it's just
That's what
boy.
She said?
What up, everybody? It's me, your boy, a.k.a. the kid. The handsome member of the group.
Honestly.
It is me, Caleb.
What's up? It's your boy, Guinea Penis.
What's up, demons? It's your boy.
It's your boy, Skinny Penis, chilling here, you know.
Hunting
man that needs no introduction.
Oh, ho, ho.
It's your boy Gavin, aka Gilded Age, chilling with my two fantastic co-hosts.
On a serious question, besides the fact that we all know what I am waiting to talk about, what has happened in the past week? Because we did not record last week.
This past weekend was super week in the LCS.
Ooh.
So instead of 2 days of games where they do Friday or Saturday and Sunday, they did 3 days of games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh,
and I finally lost a game in our fantasy league, so I am now 6-1.
And I finally won a game.
He's now 1-6.
The leader has been taken down.
Oh, you have 2 wins?
Down, and the comeback kid is on the rise.
I don't even know if he's gonna make playoffs.
Cause
I think he has to win every single game to make playoffs.
In 7th place out of 8 people at 2-6.
You got this, I believe.
Yeah, you can still make playoffs. Yeah. I mean, I'm making playoffs unless I just fucking tank and start losing every game, which is possible because I don't have the greatest players. I was really hoping GG was going to do better, but they didn't. Which is why I lost. And he got like a fucking pick. He got a pick for his mid laner that bumped him from like 30 points to like 50 points. Oof. And he got a ban on me from like one of my players had 50 points and it got bumped down to 25.
Yeah, I had some good picks and bans this week. Like I picked Jinx.
I haven't
Jinx,
even looked at our weekly review.
And then I banned Jinx. Or a band of Philios, and he had a 32-point game on a Philios, but since I banned it, he only got 16 points out of it.
Who was number Ooh. One? H? Holy crap. The number one team this week scored 474 points.
I scored That's 468.
Insane. Damn, right there. You were the biggest winner.
Because Fudge... And Summit popped off for me. Fudge had 131 points, and Summit had 119.
Yeah. Yeah, I did get a fast 5. My lost guy was the fastest to 10k gold. So there's
interesting.
That.
interesting.
But yeah, speaking of Super
Holy
Week.
Crap, Caleb. Going? You, what? No, you, okay. You had almost a pick in every single role except jungle. And a ban in every single role except jungle.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. Just, I only had 2 picks and 2 bans. Everyone else...
Yeah, because I've been watching what they play, like, the most of.
I was going to say, I feel like he's actually been paying attention.
Yeah, I watch it every weekend, so...
I am.
So when you go to select your picks and bans, it'll show you like
yeah, they're most
recently
played
and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Well, I have an honest to God question. Did anything spicy happen over Super Weekend?
Yes, a little bit.
Give me the heat. Oh yeah.
Let's just go over the standings now, real
okay.
quick.
Okay.
So we got 2 teams tied at first. It's Cloud9 and Team Liquid. Cloud9, I don't know if this happened or not last time we recorded. but Cloud9
It didn't happen. It happened after. It happened after. Okay, yeah, we haven't talked about it yet.
So something spicy that did happen, I guess. So Cloud9 in the offseason, they signed this guy named LS as their head coach. And he's like this like super big brain, smart guy.
Top tier coach.
Like top tier, like
probably the best coach league. In LCS.
It was his first coaching job, I believe. But he's like this really like smart guy in League of Legends, and he's been living in Korea for like the past couple of years. And then Cloud9 brought him over to NA and made them their coach. And like everybody, all the Cloud9 fans and stuff are like super hype because he brought something like really different to the LCS. Like Cloud9 was like drafting champs that nobody else was drafting, like playing it supports in the mid lane, drafting like bunch of cool, like neat stuff that you don't normally see. And they were doing really good. They were 3-1. And then right before their game last weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right before their first game last weekend, Cloud9 sent out a tweet and was like, "We have released LS. He is no longer our coach." Max Waldo, who was like their assistant coach, they were like, "Max Waldo will now be taking up the head coaching role."
Yeah, which I think is fucking crazy.
Everybody, Twitter just blew up because that's like all they said. They didn't give us like a reason. They didn't say anything else. And then LS tweeted like right after, and he was like, "I just found out about this 4 hours ago."
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
excuse me?
And so they ended up losing that first game, I think.
Pretty sure. Because they're
that first game, and everybody was like freaking out. And then Cloud9 finally released a video the other day on Twitter with Jack, who's the CEO of Cloud9. And he had Blabber and I think Summit, or might have been Blabber and Berserker, who were two of the players on the team, like sitting there with them, just looked like they were kidnapped and like made to sit there and like didn't want to be there. The video pretty much said a whole bunch of nothing.
Right. So
it was just like, LS's coaching style isn't what we wanted to do moving forward, and we couldn't come to a compromise, and something blah blah blah, just a bunch of like bullshit. It's like you knew his coaching style before
bringing him
like
over
and bringing him over here. If like you didn't like the way he coached or his like style or whatever, then why would you hire him anyway? Move him all the way out from Korea to here for 2 weeks and then fire him.
Right.
But they bounced back. They ended up bouncing back after that, and now they're tied for first place with Team Liquid.
Nice.
And then our big story that we had last time, we did our podcast about FlyQuest.
Yeah.
Who was sitting at first. They are now tied for third at 5-4 with Golden Guardians and 100 Thieves. So this weekend didn't go very good for FlyQuest. So
you're telling me my mid laner scored 0 points.
Yeah, they didn't have a very good showing. So people are starting to say maybe they're not that good. Maybe it was just like a fluke or whatever. Or maybe it was just a bad weekend. Maybe they'll bounce back. So just waiting to see that. Golden Guardians had a good weekend. They were at the bottom of the table before Super Week, and now they're up here towards the top mid. 100 Thieves, very, very disappointing weekend. Went 1-2. I watched the game yesterday against Dignitas, and it just looked like they had never played the game before. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. Like, three teams tied for sixth place at 4-5. So we got Evil Geniuses, Immortals, and Dignitas. Dignitas was kind of a hype team last time we recorded too, but they've kind of fallen off. Their top laner has been struggling a lot. I mean, given he did have to go against Summit this weekend, who is Cloud9's top laner, is probably the best top laner in the league right now. He solo killed Fate God like three times in a row in a counter matchup that Fate God should be winning.
It'd be like that, dog. I'm gonna be honest with you. It really do be like that.
It's wild. And then sitting alone in ninth place, we got CLG, who last time we talked, I believe, didn't have any wins at all. And now they're 3-6. So
hey, let's go. Okay, love to see it.
They're starting to find their footing.
Right.
So they look pretty good.
I just want to say
this past weekend.
I just want to say my boys got a win.
And then they I was gonna say then Lonely way down in 10th place.
Yeah.
That's Gavin's
a boy.
Gavin's favorite team, TSM.
Yeah, they finally got their fucking win
at 1-8.
We can only go up from here, baby.
Their one win, they look pretty decent. I don't remember who they played.
It don't matter. Don't worry about it. All you need to know is we can only go up from here.
They did play Cloud9 this weekend too. They were winning that game and should have won that game, and they threw really hard and ended up losing. So that was
it'd be like that sometimes. It'd be
yeah,
like
that. That was super weak this weekend. So and teams to watch out for, EG. Okay. They started out the first like 2 weeks pretty rough. They were supposed to be like one of the top teams. They're sitting at 4-5 right now. They're starting to look pretty good. CLG, I think they're a team to watch out for now. They're starting to play pretty well, and Golden Guardians starting to play pretty well too.
Are these teams that you're like considering possible late bloomers?
Yes.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Team FlyQuest. I don't know about them. They looked really good. Now they look really bad. So we'll see if it was just a bad weekend. 100 Thieves really need to step their shit up. They really pissed me off this weekend.
Not the boys.
Like, we won the first game on Friday. I was like, hell yeah, this weekend is going to be great. And Saturday came along, we lost. Sunday came along, we lost. I was like, god dang it. Teams that are worthless, TSM.
Teams that are worthless, TSM. The straight jab.
Yeah, well, yeah. Don't worry, because we can only go up from here, baby, and we're coming for that championship.
TSM is a pretty... They're kind of a rebuild slash, like...
Is that by TSM?
They're kind of like a rebuild roster type thing, because, like, everyone on that team pretty much is new except the top in jungle. And
what about TSM?
They're long young players. Yeah, Gavin, TSM.
Yeah, that's look. We're the first team LCS to build a team of newbies, and we're going to win worlds.
It's TSM China basically, because all their players are from fucking China.
Well,
right now that means watch out. That's all I'm gonna say.
When we win worlds, we'll see who's the worst team in the league.
Another big story in League of Legends right now. Let's see. Where is it at?
I got something.
And LCK. Hold on real quick, Gavin. LCK, I just want to give a shout out to T1, Baker, and the boys. 12-0.
Jeez!
12-0. Haven't lost a game yet.
Sheesh.
It's pretty crazy.
I just want to say I've been playing, I play a little bit of League, probably just a little bit, just a few games, and the new champion, yeah, she's broken.
Renata?
Yeah, I've been playing her support, she's pretty broken, I like it. The fact that you can go into a 5v5 team fight, pop your ultimate, hit all of the enemy team and watch them kill each other is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's
what her ult do. Explain.
So her ult is like this big purple gas, and
whoever it hits on the enemy team, they start fighting each other instead of fighting you.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that you just like completely overshadowed Gavin, who was trying about it.
It's okay. Yeah, it's basically it's like, so at level one it's like 1 second, and so basically they gain 100% attack speed and attack the closest target to them. So if it can also fuck you over if you're like, you know, in like a, you know, like a 1v2 or something, and like you don't have a lot of damage as support.
She also has revive too, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, her W, right? Yeah, her W is, so it gives them 15% attack speed, 10% movement speed, and if you die while it's active, you come back alive with 100% HP.
If you kill somebody.
No, if you kill somebody, you have 100% HP that decays really fucking quickly, but if you kill somebody you come back with 20% HP.
Yeah, but if you don't kill anybody or anything, you still die.
Yeah, you just die.
If you kill somebody, you come back to life and don't die.
And all of her abilities, if they hit any allies, it gives them a shield. Her Q roots enemies, then you can chunk them at their own teammates to stun both of them.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yo, I love that.
And her E is really cool too. It shoots out two little rockets that damage enemies in its path and then blow up and then slow enemies. And it's so much fun. Like, I was playing and she's a very aggressive support. Like, if you have a ADC that's super passive, it kind of blows. And like, it's really hard to lane with a passive ADC as her. But yeah. I went in and I was at, I don't know, maybe like 10 HP, threw out my Q and chunked the Poppy into the Xayah and got away with 10 HP, and my jungler, my ADC came in and fucking cleaned him up. She's a lot of fun. She's probably my new favorite champion.
Yeah, well, I lost 7 games in a row last night.
Oh, Jesus, fuck. I played like 3 games the other night and I think I won 2 of them and lost 2.
It was pretty frustrating.
Shin's also really broken. I played him and
bunch of fucking idiots carried.
But
now that y'all are all pissed off about League, let me tell you some spicy stuff that happened in Rocket League actually over the few weeks.
Oh yeah.
So we didn't get to talk last week, and NA had their finishing qualifiers.
Okay. I'm listening.
So we are at 15 out of 16 teams that will be going to the International LAN Major, the Winter Major, in LA in March. I will be there. In order, from first seed to fifth seed, we have, if anybody watches Rocket League, y'all already know, NRG, first seed, the king.
Yeah.
The fucking king. Surprisingly, over regional event 2 and 3, G2 Esports snuck up for second seed. After the first regional, were not even in the conversation. Then 2 regionals in a row, they placed top. I believe they didn't place below third.
Yeah.
So they actually won regional 2. So at third, you have FaZe Clan. For anybody who listens who's a fan of shooter games, FaZe Clan has now moved over to Rocket League. And of course, they have an amazing team. Top 3 seed in the NNA. Now here's where it gets spicy. So for 4th and 5th seed, there were 4 teams battling. Base Station Gaming had a really strong shot at 4th. They were actually the 4th seed going into Regional 3. than the Space Station Gaming always does. On the moment that they need to clutch, they choke. So when Space Station Gaming choked out at 12th place in Regional 3, they needed a total of 16 to do some really funky, hokey-pokey, turn-yourself-around win. And boy, did everything that they wanted to happen not happen.
Oof.
Yeah. They needed two teams to lose really quickly, and one of them being version 1, V1. They needed V1 to drop out of the upper side of Regional 3 bracket. So V1 did not do that. V1 actually won Regional 3. The other two teams were Oxygen and Complexity. Complexity went into the upper side of the bracket in Regional 3, and if they would have won out, they actually would have beat Space Station, and they would have been in fifth. They lost, literally were in the upper side of the bracket, lost two games at home, and then Oxygen came in, made a run to the top six, and if they would have won the game to put them in the top four, Space Station Gaming would not be in the main.
Yeah.
They obviously lost. So Space Station Gaming was literally holding their breath and watching the regional happen this past weekend, or the last weekend for them. But the five teams going in for NA, NRG, G2, FaZe Clan, V1, and Space Station Gaming, they will be representing North America in the International Major.
Nice.
EU and pretty much every other region who's sending a representative to the International LAN Major played this past weekend. And I cannot keep up with all that shit because that's a whole fuck ton of Rocket League to watch, and I'm not that committed. Not gonna lie to you. We'll start with the lowest representation regions. Okay, so MENA, Middle East, North Africa. Sandrock Gaming comes out on top. They are, like, that is going to be one of the best teams in the entire world. I cannot wait for, they are actually the first team to qualify for the World Tournament. They are the first team that is actually solidified will be in world.
Yeah.
They are representing MENA. In APAC, nobody has been chosen yet because there still needs to be a four-team tournament. So the four teams that have an opportunity to make it are Tokyo Verde, Detonator, Diamond Gladiators, and don't know who the fuck that is, but all right. Really hoping the boys at Tokyo Verde make it because Realize was in the Fall Major and had a super, super emotional, heartfelt message about literally just to be at the. He didn't even care how he placed. They actually went 0-3 in their little like placement matches. They didn't even get a shot.
Yeah,
but he didn't even give a crap. He was just happy to literally be in Stockholm, watching the people who he actually looks up to. Really cool little story. South America is sending two representatives. They are sending Furia Esports and Team Secret. Now, I am surprised, I'll be honest, that Team Secret made it, of all people, because I was actually expecting, I was expecting Era or Crew to come out in the second place spot with Furia on top, but Furia actually comes in on second and Team Secret comes in at first. Mm-hmm. So I was actually really surprised to see the outcome of the South America representative. Really, really surprised. For OCE, the Australian teams that will be representing are Renegades, of course. Renegades is arguably the best OCE team that exists besides Ground Zero Gaming, but we have a new team that is coming in. There was a team, their name was Forkidden, and they're just a bunch of young lads playing Rocket League. They were actually bought by KCP Pioneers, and they are now the Pioneers. and they own the organization 4Kittens. So 4Kitten updated their name to Pioneers. They are the second team out of OCE representing Australia in that region.
Nice.
Yeah, these kids have been literally on the coattails of the Renegades and Ground Zero Gaming for quite some time. So I'm really happy to see these guys come out. Like, this is going to be definitely going to be a really cool showing for these guys, and I really hope they make the top eight so they can play over Saturday and Sunday. Now for EU. I heard you mention Evil Geniuses.
Yes.
Evil Geniuses made EU a little spicy this past weekend. After Regional 2, they were creeping up. They placed top six, which threw them into the running with quite literally the rest of the European region for the top five, because anybody in Europe can literally be a top five team, which is fucking nuts. Europe is so goddamn good at Rocket League. Evil Geniuses snuck up, and they took the fifth seed.
Nice.
Right. I was very, very impressed. I actually thought it was going to be the team Misfits, but Misfits do what Misfits always does, and they choked.
Yeah, they do the same thing in LEC.
Yep. They play so goddamn good, and then when it comes down to them actually needing to play good, they're like, oh, we forgot how to play the game. So at fourth seed, you have Endpoint. Now, Endpoint is one of the teams in EU for Rocket League that is just, how do I say this? They are always in the top contending conversation. They are online demons. Endpoint is an extremely scary team that I don't know when the last time they performed offline was, but like it's one of those teams like you don't sleep.
Yeah.
If you sleep, you lose. BDS coming in at the third seed. BDS is arguably the best EU team, but like I'm not entirely sure by that statement. You know, they're the most recent team that played in a major, and it was their first time off, or first time on LAN, and they won. They won the fall major. So they are returning champions, if you will, but they are the third seed for EU. At the second seed, the team everybody knows, Dignitas. If you know anything about esports, you have 100% heard the team name Dignitas.
Yep.
Of course, they have an amazing Rocket League team. They are at second seed. And first seed, my boys, who I am so proud of. They have actually literally won every single EU regional. Give it up for Team Queso, baby. Team Cheese! Literally, during the game they were playing this weekend, they were eating cheese on camera.
Oh, really?
While they were scoring. They started it, and then the casters even brought cheese with them to show which team they were in support of. Now, for APAC, who doesn't have the representative, like I said, I really hope it's Tokyo Verde. I would love Real Eyes to go back to the major. But those are your 16 teams. And I'll be honest, I can't tell you who's going to fucking win. Because Sandrock Gaming is fucking good. Queso is fucking good. Pioneers are amazing. V1 is kind of nowhere playing like God's Endpoint. If they show up to the major like they showed up at this past regional, you better shit your pants, because these guys were fucking on fire. I don't know enough about SAM to say that they'll be contenders, but I hope that they get a representative up in the top eight. Like, I hope we have at least a team from every region that's coming in the top eight.
Yeah.
That would be dope as hell. Like, I hope APAC make it. I know MENA is going to make it. They didn't even have their best player, Okalid, in the fall major, and they made top eight with a fucking sub. A substitute player. So, like, I'm just saying, like, it March 26th and 27th, you guys need to tune in to the Rocket League International LAN Major. It is going to be one of the hypest events you have ever seen. Plus, if I'm loud enough, you'll hear me fucking screaming. But enough about that.
Let's get to the topic you really want to talk about.
Hold on. I just want to mention something really quick. Something also really big happened this weekend that I forgot about.
What was that?
The CSGO Katowice Major, which is like the biggest CSGO tournament in the world, happened this weekend.
Okay. Who won?
Which is in Katowice, which is in Poland.
Okay.
It's like this huge tournament. First place gets $400,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's that tournament. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was... Let's go all over all the teams real quick. So there's Na'Vi.
For anybody who doesn't know, CSGO is Counter-Strike Global Offensive. It is one of the oldest first-person shooters in the rotation of esports, and it is actually one of the longest followed esports, as well as being one of the hypest.
Yeah. So
it takes a lot of skill to be good at this game.
Yeah. So the directly qualified teams that went were Na'Vi, which I think is like a Ukrainian
they are a Ukrainian team.
Yeah, who has like one of the greatest CSGO players of all time, Simple.
Yeah. No, he is the best, right?
Yeah. Then we have they were the EU first seed. EU second seed.
Is anybody surprised by that? I mean, honestly.
The Simple EU team. Second seed was Gambit Esports. Then in the third seed we had for EU, we had G2 Esports.
Oh, G2's got a CSGO team? Hell yeah.
And then EU four seed was Vitality. Fifth seed for EU was Heroic. And the last seed for EU was Virtus Pro. Never heard of them.
Virtus? I've heard of the team name.
Virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S.
Oh, never mind. I thought it was like Virtus. I've heard of that team. I don't know who Virtus
is. NA team, which number one team, I guess, is a Brazilian team. Everyone on their team is Brazilian. Furia Esports.
Yeah, Furia has a good CSGO team.
And then the last directly qualified team, which is NA second seed, is Team Liquid.
Damn, then Liquid and CSGO, I did not know that.
Then there were 12 playing teams, which was Ninjas in Pajamas.
I'm already a fan. Ninjas in Pajamas. Yeah. I hope they went far. I love that team.
Astralis.
Number one team.
EU number 9 seed, FaZe Clan. Godsend, which is another Brazilian team. MIBR, Renegades, Big, Entropic, OG, CHP Flames, Fnatic, ENCE, Mouse, Sprout, Movie Star Riders, and some name in Polish, I don't know.
Awesome.
But, so 7th and 8th place. This is the top 8, which are, I think, the highest payouts. Oh, okay. We'll just go from the bottom. 24th place was MIBR. 23rd, Renegades. 22nd, Sprout. 21st, the Polish team that I can't pronounce. 20th was Movie Star. And all those teams, 21st to 24th, get $2,500. 17th through 20th, $4,500. It's Movie Stars, Entropic, Godsend, and Big. 13th through 16th get $10,000. So that's a pretty big jump. That was OG, Copenhagen Flames, Team Liquid, and ENCE. 9th through 12th gets $16,000. And that was Mals, Vitality, Fnatic, and Furia. And then 7th and 8th place, $24,000. Ninjas in Pajamas in 7th. And Astralis in 8th. 5th and 6th, $40,000. In 5th place, we have Gambit Esports. 6th place, Virtus Pro. And then here's the big boys. Third and fourth, we have $80,000. In third place is Heroic, which was the fifth seed of EU.
They got third?
Third place.
Nice, actually.
They were the fifth seed. They were a directly qualified team. In fourth place, we got Na'Vi.
Hey, honestly, not to veer any kind of political talk into this, but with what's going on, Na'Vi participated in the Rocket League regional, and they participated in this tournament. Like,
yeah, if you go on Twitter,
huge shout out to that team for even showing up.
Yeah, if you go on Twitter, Simple gave out like a pretty cool speech about everything, and it was like posted all over Twitter. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, huge shout out to those guys. And also, speaking of, there is there's a player that was in the EU team. I do not know the name right off the top of my head, but they were actually running for the top spot, and it's a Ukrainian player, and he like ever. Oh, it's Tox. Tox for Luminosity Gaming. His family is currently going through all that, and he almost made top six. Like, insane mental. That's all I'm going to say. Insane fucking mental to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could. I'm going to be honest with you.
And then in second place, with taking home $180,000 at EU's third seed, G2 Esports.
Nice.
Now, you got any guesses who got first and took home the $400,000?
I wonder if it was Simple's team.
Simple was on Na'Vi. He got fourth.
Oh, Simple was on Na'Vi. Oh,
yeah.
Did you already say Astralis?
Oh, we lost Gavin. He's so bad.
I can't remember. I feel like you already said them before, but they're like the only like CS:GO team I actually know.
Who, Astralis?
Yeah.
They got eighth place.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm trying to think.
Yeah, go ahead. I was listening. You said so many fucking names.
It's a pretty big.
Is it FaZe?
Yeah.
FaZe. No shot.
FaZe got first place.
Wow! Congrats to NA.
So they took FaZe swept G2, in the final, to win IEM Catalyze.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. Yeah, good win for it. Yeah, because NA does not normally win the CSGO bracket.
FaZe is in CSGO, their EU.
Oh, okay, I got you. But yeah, I was going to say, okay.
They were a play-in team. They were EU's number 9 seed.
Big congrats for EU, then. Big congrats for EU on that win.
NA. The only like actual like American team I think was Team Liquid, and they did
they did pretty poorly, I assume.
They got 15th place.
Well, not poorly, but not great.
Woo!
Yeah, they were like better than middle of the pack. They got 15th out of 24 teams.
So they were middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Hey. 15 is better than 16. That's all I'm going to say.
This guy. Yeah. But enough about competitive esports.
Let's talk about the game for gamers. The real game. The game that may be the perfect game.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say the perfect.
That's what I've been hearing about it.
I don't know about all that. You got to remember, From Software made the game. It's not perfect.
Well,
By any standard, it is not perfect.
I know what From Software is, so.
They make
Dark Souls silly.
Well, I've never played Dark Souls, so.
I know you haven't. You don't play hard games.
But you
play games that give you depression.
Yeah.
You should definitely try Dark Souls.
I'm sure if I played Dark Souls, I would have depression.
You would have super depression, actually. Yeah. Depression plus one. Yeah.
But from what I've been hearing, is it's the closest game to being perfect. It's from what everyone...
For all those who don't know what he's trying to say, we are talking about the title that I have been waiting on for 3 years.
That we've been talking about every week till it came out. Literally every episode.
But for those who don't know, Elden Ring released last week for PC players on Thursday night at 6 p.m. for the world Friday at midnight. Elden Ring is the latest installment from From Software. You've heard me talk about it plenty of times, but from what everybody is saying, to bounce off of what Gavin said, it has actually lived up to every single bit of the hype that was actually produced around the game, which is a problem for a lot of games. A lot of games do not live up to the hype. I mean, y'all remember, what's the last game that legitimately lived up to the hype? Breath of the Wild? It was probably Breath of the Wild, wasn't it?
I don't know. I've never played Breath of the Wild.
I think Cyberpunk probably lived up to it.
Cyberpunk.
You're out of your fucking mind, Gavin.
Cyberpunk was a letdown.
That shit was a flop. let's talk about a bigger flop, though, because somebody told me about it this weekend. No Man's Sky. You want to talk about a game that can't live up to the hype.
What do you mean? No Man's Sky has been doing nothing but getting better and better.
Correct, but upon release?
Oh, hello? Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, at release, yeah, no, it was a pretty big flop at release.
Exactly. But, that's what I'm saying, like, this game on release, like, games on release that have immediately lived up to the hype, I think the last one was Breath of the Wild.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything else.
Lost Ark, I can definitely say for worldwide release, Lost Ark has lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
It is a very fun game. I have still continued to play it. Like, I thoroughly enjoy just loading the game up and running around and killing stuff.
Yeah.
And just progressing forward in the story. However, I've sunk. And what's crazy is I haven't even put a lot of time into Elden Ring yet, guys. I only have like 7 hours.
And really? I figured you'd be like, yeah, so I've beaten the game 16 times. I've tried every single class. Yeah, right? I have all the items unlocked.
I have a day job.
You didn't use your vacation
playtime already.
No, I have 7 hours. I've beaten like 4 bosses. I mean, I'm level like 22, I think. I'm low, man.
Damn.
My greatsword is at +3 because of my smithing stones. I immediately buffed that bad boy because I run what is called a pure quality build, which is where you only focus on buffing the stats for strength, endurance or stamina, vigor or health, and dexterity.
So, since you know more about the game, is there a viable... Because in Dark Souls 3, mm-hmm. I wanted to try a spell casting, but like class, like pure spell casting, but I didn't find that it was very good.
Well, yeah, because if you go in a game like Dark Souls 3, You kind of like, so the thing about From Software games in general, not to just veer away from Dark Souls 3, but for From Soft, you need to understand what bosses have what weaknesses and what resistances they have, and also their attack pattern. Now, for somebody who plays a mage or spellcaster, typically you are very squishy. Your health pool is not very big.
Yeah.
But your attack damage is when you land attack. That is the whole point. You are wanting to min-max your damage
right
over your vitality, your vigor. Now, I haven't seen anything in this game so far. I have not found any weaknesses, if you will, or any noticeable like attributes. But just like every other Souls-like game, enemies hit hard, bosses hit even harder.
So could I run a pure spellcasting class and it be viable?
I think as it right now is, I think it's too early on for anybody to actually be able to tell you that.
Okay.
There's probably a few people who are new game plus one, you know. They're probably in new game plus one, their second and third playthroughs. I'd 100% believe it. I mean, our friend Brian, Gavin, he's pretty well progressed in the game. I don't think he's beaten it just yet, but he's pretty well progressed.
I know. He's been doing nothing but posting about it.
Right. So, I mean, I can say pure quality hasn't let me down yet. I just need to get my mechanics back to what they were in Dark Souls 3. I think I'm doing almost 200 damage per swing right now, and I'm only level 20.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, like, question, did you beat the tree guardian dude on the horse?
Yeah, the tree sentinel. One? Yes, I did.
Level 1?
Not soul level 1. No, not soul level 1.
You went back to him?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I don't hate myself enough to do soul level 1 runs.
Right? Yeah.
I have a little bit more self-respect and a little bit more dignity.
You're not into, like, humiliation kink?
Nope. Jeez, Gavin, can you speak?
No, look, I don't do the humiliation runs.
Caleb, I'm going off of, like, 4 hours of sleep right now, okay?
So, something I can say that is really fun about soul level 1 runs is how rewarding they are to the player. You, as a player, you learn so much about the game and your skill level and reaction time and a lot of other stuff gets a lot higher because you are forced to run through the game. Wretched is the class that you would pick.
Yeah.
And you would find the hardest weapon that you can carry as a wretched, which in Dark Souls 3, when you were just, forget what the class was called. But it was the same thing as Wretched in
Peasant, or something like that.
Huh?
Peasant or something like that.
No, it was not peasant. It was another. But anyway, so you run as a Wretched, and you get the biggest weapon you can find, and the only thing you do is you upgrade that weapon without upgrading anything else. You just get a bunch of stuff to upgrade one weapon.
That's what it was. It was deprived and...
Yes, deprived.
Yeah.
So you're running around completely naked, no armor, swinging a club. And that is how you beat the game.
So what class did you pick?
I pick in Elden Ring, I went with the Vagabond.
The what?
Vagabond.
The Vagabond.
Okay. Samurai, that looks cool.
Samurai is a very cool class from here. My buddy is running Samurai Bleed build.
Oh, so you picked the, looks cool.
You picked the Baba Yaga?
Yeah.
Baba Yaga?
Yeah.
No, my buddy, I don't know what my buddy picked, but he's saying Baba Yaga. That's but my buddy, he picked the samurai, and he's running a bleed build, and I respect that because when you use katanas and stuff like that in Dark Souls, they usually have an attribute for bleed. So, I also just killed an enemy in the game who gave me some ashes that look like they add bleed to the weapon, like an attribute that I can add to the weapon if I throw some ashes on it. But I'm on my way to fight Godric.
Godric's hollow.
Small little spoiler alert here. Godric is part of the Lord.
You're fighting a whole city?
No, I'm not fighting a whole city. I'm fighting a Lord.
Godric's Hollow.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's actually fighting the castle. It's a mimic, so.
Do you know what Godric's Hollow is, Rustle?
I would fucking cry if that was the case. No, what is it? Help me out here. Is it a Harry Potter reference?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's where Harry was born.
Where Harry was born?
Godric's Hollow.
Walter.
I think when I get the game, I'm probably either going astrologer or samurai.
If you have not played a Souls-like game in a very long time, if I were you, I would definitely choose to go samurai.
Confessor looks really cool too.
Russell, have you taken the Harry Potter house quiz?
Yes.
The official one?
Mm-hmm.
On Pottermore?
Yes.
Oh, you have. What are you?
I'll give you two guesses.
You are Ravenclaw.
That's what I was going to say. I have a feeling you might be a Ravenclaw.
I am not.
Oh, are you Are you Gryffindor? That's my second guess too.
Abso-fucking-lutely, I am.
Nice.
Caleb,
did you do your Patronus?
I did not. That was the one thing I still have yet to do. I've not done the Patronus.
Okay. Caleb is a Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff for life, yeah. And my Patronus is an Irish Wolfhound.
I could have told you. I could have told you without him taking the test. He was probably a Hufflepuff.
Also, Russell, you share the house with Caitlin. She's also a Gryffindor.
Gryffindor's in the house.
Do you?
Gryffindors are so basic.
Does anybody want to guess my house?
The new Fantastic Beasts trailer dropped today for the third movie. It looks pretty dope.
Gavin, I would assume you're a Slytherin.
Damn, it's fucking on.
I would literally assume you're a Slytherin.
Without even hesitating. That's spot on, yeah. That's correct. And I got a dumbass Patronus. I got a fucking mole. I'm so mad about it.
The only reason that I believed you were a Slytherin, and this is based solely off of basically kind of like how
everything about you.
No, it's how everything ties in. Because for me, okay, so this is a little funny thing about me when I was younger. I related everything to Star Wars, the Jedi and the Sith,
mm-hmm.
because that was my first real like representation of the battle versus good and evil.
Right.
You know? And in a sense, Slytherin are a lot like the Sith. A lot of their magic and a lot of their, I'm not going to say desires, but their actions are fueled very much so through emotion. And not that Gavin is like boom boom crybaby fuckboy. But I would assume if he was to get into an altercation or something, it would be very much fueled off of a rage-induced emotion.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't get mad very often, but yeah.
Well, when you do.
Yeah, but when I do, I get very angry.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Because, like, Gryffindor try to use logic and reason while putting most emotion to the side, you know, minus Harry Potter, because obviously... he needed the emotion, but like Hufflepuff are very emotional people, not like
Caleb, definitely
not bad or good, but Hufflepuff are very emotional people. Ravenclaw are more like lethargic, kind of go with the flow, read the vibe.
Ravenclaw are like super intelligent, knowledgeable people, like
that very, too. Very but like, but they also like they vibe in a weird way.
I feel like the vibe is more of a Hufflepuff trait.
That could be true. That could be true. But yeah, you are right. Ravenclaw are really fucking pretentious. That's so true, actually. No, you're right. That is so true. But now that we've sidetracked into Harry Potter.
Anyways,
something also
according to
this week.
According to this website, Gryffindor are brave. They like helping others and
I'll tell you right now.
Hufflepuff are hardworking.
Gryffindor is bravery, helping others. And Hufflepuff is hard work, patience, loyalty, fair play. Ravenclaw is intelligence, knowledgeable, planning ahead, and wit. Slytherin is ambition, cunningness, heritage, and resourcefulness.
I literally had it pulled up. Like the table.
Gavin was literally in the middle of reading it off, but yes. Of course, Caleb has it saved, bookmarked, and like.
He probably does. He probably knows it off the top of his fucking head.
I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him to know it off the top of his head. Hey, that's a good thing, though, honestly.
Hell yeah.
Bro. Just like I'm sure you have some Star Wars facts that you know right off the top of your fucking head.
Yeah, I do.
You know, obviously. So, I mean.
Gavin, why don't you. Have you done any research into these new Pokemon games that are coming out?
I don't give a fuck what we say. I'm going to say this right now. Quaxly is my boy.
Fucking
that's what I'm saying, bro.
Coco is my boy.
He basically looks like Donald Duck.
Lava he looks like fucking he looks alligator like a fucking for life.
JoJo's character. What do you mean?
But so the new Pokemon game, in case anyone wants to know, Gen 9 was announced.
What are they called again?
It is
Isn't it like Rose and something else?
No, it's Violet and something.
Yeah, yeah.
Violet and Scarlet. Violet and Scarlet.
Yeah, it's set in, I believe Spain or Italy.
Is it actually set in Spain or Italy? I thought it was set in like England or something.
Yeah, no, Scarlet and Violet. It's supposed to be what everyone is saying is it's Spain or Italy.
I really hope it's some type of, you know, I'm gonna. I don't want to butcher it by saying I think they already Spanish, did. but some type of Latin.
Yeah, thing, it's,
because
it's,
they do not have any Latin Pokemon.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Spain, Italy, like around that area, because they already did England. That was Black and White 2, I believe.
Apparently it's supposed to be like a Breath of the Wild style adventure.
Yeah, it's going to be like Legends of Arceus. Yeah, okay. It's going to be like a big open world. The Pokemon aren't going to... Like, you can see them all in the overworld. It's going to have, like, the same kind of game mechanics as Legends of Arceus, but you're going to have, like, the towns and gym battles and stuff like that, like in the original Pokemon games. But, yeah, it's supposed to be, like, Italy, Spain, kind of, like, that kind of area vibe, because everyone was thinking it was going to be, like, France, but they've already done England, they've done... Japan, obviously, and I think they've done a couple other like regions.
I'm reading this article about it right now, and they're talking about the starters, Russell, and it says there's a cute little grass kitty, and in parentheses it says easily my pick, an apple-shaped fire type dinosaur, serious potential for a final evolution here, don't let us down, and then a water Pokemon that literally looks like Donald Duck. Don't tell Disney's legal department. See, I told you he looks like Donald Duck.
He does.
Bro, he does. He does. But Donald Duck, if Donald Duck was a JoJo's character.
I haven't seen JoJo, so.
He's got a pompadour,
Jesus
bro.
Jesus Christ.
Quaxley is, that's the, I don't give a, he could be shit.
I'll say this, I'm going the fire Totodile.
The fucking, did you say fire Totodile?
Yep.
No, sir. No, sir.
Coco?
Yeah,
he's a Pequio Pepper. He's a pepper.
I'm
he's
going him.
Pepper.
I'm
he's
going.
Not a, he's not even a fucking crocodile. He's a
I'm
pepper.
Going fire fucking dial. It is. Frigito is the grass cat. Fukoko is the dinosaur, and Quaxley is
these are some weird. Frigito. The Quaxley is the only one who has like a normal.
Sprigatito
and Fukoko.
Fuecoco.
It's like fire chocolate.
You go, Glenn Fuecoco.
But anyway,
continue, Gavin. Sorry.
I'm excited for it. I hope. In the trailer, the graphics kind of look a little weird to me. They look kind of fuzzy. I don't know if that was just. Kind of like the video I saw, because I haven't seen the official trailer. I've seen like clips and stuff from it, so I'm thinking it's that. But also the trainers look a little wacky. They're wearing some really weird clothes. Like they're wearing like overalls with like shorts and stuff. They look like school children. So
man, they're like what 10? Set off. A 10?
Yeah, so they're 10.
They are school children.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I'm hoping that, like, you can... I'm hoping they keep the trainer customization, like, in Legends, because Legends had really good character customization. I'm excited for it. I'll obviously be getting it. But while we're talking about games that have been announced, if anybody is wondering what games are coming out next month, some of the big ones, Shadow Warrior 3 comes out.
Never heard of it.
March 1st, so tomorrow. We have Gran Turismo 7 coming out on March 4th. We have Triangle Strategy coming out March 4th for Switch, which a lot of people I know.
WWE 2K22?
Yeah, comes out March 11th. we have The Settlers March 17th. Another one, what is the date? Death Stranding Director's Cut March 30th and Ghostwire Tokyo March 25th. Those are some of the
Ghostwire Tokyo. What is the name?
Is it the new Zelda Breath of the Wild coming out too?
Not next month.
At least. It says it is.
At least not what I see. I know Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Core Pass is coming out next
month. It got changed to November.
Persona 4 comes out next month as well. But yeah, Ghostwire...
The re-release of Persona 4? The re-release?
Yeah. Yeah, the... what's it called? Arena Ultimax? Ultimax? But yeah, Ghostwire, a lot of people... It's a pretty... pretty big game. They've had a couple of them. They're really cool. This new one looks really good. I might even try it. Because big news for Ghostwire Tokyo, if you guys were wondering, you can pet the dogs, which obviously shows just how good the game's probably going to be because you can pet the dogs. That's always a factor in determining how good a game will be.
Have you guys seen this new
no
DC RPG?
No.
Gotham Knights.
Yep.
Coming out this year.
Star Wars Force Unleashed out on
Switch. It looks pretty cool.
In April.
So this is like the premise, I guess. It says Batman is dead, a new expansive criminal underworld has swept the streets of Gotham City. It is now up to the Batman family, Batgirl, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Robin to protect Gotham.
Red Hood?
Yeah.
Hey!
Bring hope to its citizens, discipline to its cops, and fear to its criminals. From solving mysteries that connect the darkest chapters in the city's history to defeating notorious villains in epic confrontation, you must evolve into the new Dark Knight and save the streets from descent into chaos. Gotham Knights is an open-world action RPG set in the most dynamic and interactive Gotham City yet. In either solo play or with one other hero, patrol Gotham's five distinct boroughs and drop in on criminal activity wherever you find it.
Red Hood, that's Dick, right?
It's Jason Todd.
Jason, that's who it is.
And then Dick, it's Tim Drake as Robin.
Okay, hang on. So Jason Todd, of course, is Red Hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Tim is actually Robin?
Tim Drake is Robin.
Okay, so it's not Dick Grayson.
No. And then Barbara Gordon as Batgirl. Yes, Dick Grayson.
Okay. So then Nightwing is going to be about...
Is Damian not be about
40... No, Damian would not be there unless Ra's al Ghul is part of it, then Damian would exist.
Oh, yeah.
And then Barbara Gordon is Batgirl.
Yeah, Barbara. Yeah, Chief Gordon's daughter. Yeah.
I want to see, they should have put, what's his name? Not, when Nightwing dies, and comes back as Ghostwing or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know nothing
about
that.
Deadwing, I think is what it is.
You got me on that one, brother. I ain't no crap about that.
Oh, for real? Yeah. In Injustice, Damian kills Dick, and Dick comes back as like Deadwing, as like a ghost. He gets power from this like god to go back and try and change the like future, I guess, and like fix the timeline so that Superman doesn't fucking murder everyone. Other note, Nintendo Switch Sports comes out April 29th, and I cannot fucking wait.
Do what?
Nintendo Switch Sports comes out April 29th.
Yeah.
Oh, is that like Wii Sports, but for Switch? Yes,
and I cannot wait. So, but before we keep rambling on, we ran a little long this episode. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening on Spotify, remember we are going to have a daily question or episode question on there that you can answer. And if you answer, you know, we'll read your responses. I do not know if anyone answered this last episode's question, so let me see. Nope, no one did. I don't know if they even know how to get to
it. It's okay.
If you do not know how to get to it, just go to the episode and scroll to the top. And at the very top, it'll have the question, and then you can reply to it. Leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
wherever you listen to your podcasts, or Caleb will come for you.
I will. I'll come through your window at night like a Caleb wisp in the wind.
Caleb has a very specific set of skills.
He does.
Yes.
He will use those skills. He will find you.
Awesome. One last thing. Gavin, did you and Caitlin go see Uncharted?
Oh, we did. Uncharted was...
Me and Connor went and saw it this weekend.
Was it actually worth?
Oh my god, yes. It's
it was
so good.
Pretty dope.
It's so good. I loved it.
Never played the games, but...
Tom Holland did amazing. Mark did amazing. It's both funny and, like, really action-packed. Good action. Like, really good. Like, they did a really good job on it. Caitlin played the games. She said some of it she remembers from the game. So I think it probably did a pretty good job at staying as close to the games as it possibly could, you know, it being a movie and all.
Yeah, I watched an interview that Jacksepticeye did with Tom Holland, and they played Uncharted. And Tom Holland said that they tried to get, like, as much from the game in the...
Yeah, Caitlin said
movie.
Caitlin just told me spot on with a thumbs up, so.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
But anyways, that's it for us tonight, ladies and gents.
Thanks
and them.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hell yeah. I love you all, everybody who listens. I love my co-hosts. And as always,
we love you too.
I love this podcast.
And as always, we'll see you then, or we'll see you another time.
Bye.
Bye.